Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Oh, you thought I wouldn't have swallowed my drink in time, but guess what? I did. I'm speaking in complete sentences and everything.
You're a pro. Justin Robert Young.
Hi, friends.
And we're produced by Mr. Bryce Castillo, who really is the thread that holds this tattered garment together.
Do you hear that? You're a tattered garment thread.
Well, I think that makes you the tattered garment.
Yeah, pretty much. Last week it was like an amazing, awesome episode. One of our best ever, really. I'm not sure why it was that was so made it so great.
You know, it's because we stuck to our core strengths. People say don't veer too far outside of your core strengths, and we didn't.
Mm-hmm. What? Guys, I wasn't on the show.
Oh, so that means you're not even qualified to weigh in on how awesome last week's episode was. You weren't even here.
Yeah. I mean, I heard it was spotty. Many people are saying.
Is that what people are saying?
Many people are saying that it was not as good as what the hype.
Just forward those tweets and those emails to us.
Yeah. No.
Was it a bit of a tattered garment?
It definitely wasn't a top 15 episode.
Yeah. And one of the things we talked about, I think it was in After Things, we talked about the idea of leveling up and how to like really like push things even further than before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Brian says, yes, Andrew, that's what we discussed.
Sorry. Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Because one person here has no idea what we talked about. So we mentioned that. Well, fun fact, Friday night, one of our favorite topics about leveling up, Mr. Elon Musk, he'd been teasing for a while when they launched the Falcon Heavy that there was going to be a mystery payload on board. Now, when he launched the first Dragon, the Dragon is the space capsule that goes on top of the Falcon rocket, and it's what my hat is named for. When he launched the first Dragon, they didn't want to put any precious cargo on board because in case it went explodey, you know, he didn't want to have to go, whoopsie, sorry, NASA. So he put a special secret cargo on it, and that turned out to be a giant wheel of cheese, right? Which was, let us know, yes, our real-life Tony Stark, crazy billionaire eccentric genius, really is eccentric and put a giant wheel of cheese on there, and he is insane, which is awesome. So Friday, I think it was Friday night, whatever, he tweeted out, like, hey, yeah, Falcon Heavy launch, you know, still scheduled for, we're trying to get that going January, et cetera. He announced the cargo. And I'm just going to read the tweet from Mr. Musk. And I'm just going to stall here as I wait for it to load. Well, oh, you already have this?
And by the way, to give a personal context for this, I saw that you called me on, I want to say this is Friday, and I wasn't available, and then you're like, look at his tweets. And so I did, and I couldn't not make this a joke that he tweeted out that number one, you know, Falcon Heavy will be next month. And part of that is my own fault because in my mind, it's always – Falcon Heavy, we've talked about it so long. It's always a someday goal. But then to suddenly see it, no, it's next month, and then to follow up with this outrageous tweet that says – payload will be my midnight cherry Tesla Roadster playing Space Oddity. Destination is Mars orbit. We'll be in space for a billion years or so if it doesn't blow up on ascent. Like, what about that does not sound like somebody's joking with you?
A guy known for late night Ambien tweeting. Well, yeah. I mean, that was all of a sudden, you know, a way to, you know, usually, you know, if you want to bury news, do it on Friday. But if you're Elon Musk, you know, if you want to make news, do it on Friday, whatever cause a controversy. So he announces this plan. This is what it's going to do. And the media, the people are like, well, wait, is this crazy Elon? Is this ambient Elon Musk? Or is this for reals Elon Musk? And, you know, there's Elon Musk, like, I hate traffic. I'm going to dig. We need a faster form of transportation. This thing called, Hyperloop. Yeah, whatever. Well, now billions of dollars have been committed and put into making Hyperloop a real thing. And then he's like, hey, you know what? Drilling tunnels sucks. I'm going to drill tunnels. Like, yeah, great, Elon. I'm going to create a company. I'm called the Boring Company. Like, all right, drunk Elon Musk, hilarious. Now, like, Boring Company is an actual company digging tunnels and stuff everywhere. So I'm at the point when he says, if he's now to something that's doable, I mean, it really doable, it's probably real. So he said, hey, yeah, I'm gonna launch this. I'm going to use as the cargo, because the Falcon Heavy is the most powerful rocket since the Saturn V, right? Like, or most powerful rocket now, and it won't be shuttle class, but it's going to be the most powerful rocket there is, you know, current rocket, okay? So it plans on launching the super powerful rocket, and on board, you know, this is capable of putting things, you know, into all sorts of orbits, landing things on Mars, et cetera. It needs a cargo to test it with, right? And so we're like, what's he going to launch? When's he going to launch? There'd been a talk about putting like a Dragon capsule or something on there and doing like a mission to land a Dragon space capsule, the Dragon 2, like on Mars, the Red Mars project, or Red Dragon. And that looked like that was going to be way more complicated to get that pulled off. So he needed to do something fun. And so he says, I'm going to do this. Well, immediately space policy people, et cetera, you know, are like, is this real? Is this whatever? And he has an interesting exchange with apparently somebody at The Verge, then says, oh, Elon Musk says he's joking. Okay. And so If you follow Reddit, whatever, says, oh, it's all a joke. It's a joke. Elon Musk says it's joking. Well, the problem is this. We don't know the question that they asked him. They said Elon Musk says it's a joke, or he was joking, or he made it up, rather. They said he made it up. But that's, what does that mean? You know, where did this idea come from? Oh, I made it up, which means it could still be a real idea. Or is this a real thing? Oh, I made it up, et cetera. So then we got this sort of, you know, different sort of, you know, response. The Verge said this. Other people, Eric Berger, other says, nope, he says it's real. Other people at SpaceX confirmed it. As of now, it seems totally confirmed this is a real thing. And then that either he was trolling The Verge, or they asked an imprecise question, and given some of maybe the past coverage they've had of him, he decided to give them an answer to just mess with them.
So wait a minute. So where are we at then?
It's real.
Appears to be real.
I mean, look, again, this all makes sense the more you understand that, again, SpaceX as we know it now, for whatever we want to layer on top of it in terms of hopes and dreams of creating a bridge that makes the human race a multi-planet species, began with Elon Musk wanting to have a live-streamed greenhouse on Mars and looking into, okay, I'm a crazy eccentric billionaire. I want to have a live-streamed greenhouse on Mars. How do I do it? So he goes to U.S. launch companies. He's quoted $60 to $80 million. He tries buying a refurbished Russian intercontinental ballistic missile. That price winds up going up. And he's just like, screw it. I'll build my own rockets. That's this company. He's this guy. Of course, on a mission like this, he's going to put a car into orbit playing Space Odyssey for billions of years. Why wouldn't he? This is perfectly in line with who this dude is.
Well, and plus also, it's on the one hand, it looks like crass cross promotion with another company he has. But think about where this places him. If it's successful, yes, it's a crass cross-promotional opportunity where they're taking one company and flinging it out there and it's in orbit around Mars. But if it fails, the story will be him with crocodile tears talking about how he's lost his precious Tesla. And it's like, well, what can you do? This is the cost of science.
Now, just for some technical background, if they do a launch within January or so, it won't be able to orbit Mars, but it'll have an orbital path that'll take it past like the orbit of Mars. So
I mean, that's fine. As long as you get in the neighborhood. What you're showing is we got a gizmo that can go very far, right?
Yeah, he says he plans to put cameras on board, maybe put Isaac Asimov's Foundation books on board. You know, that'll be kind of a fun thing. What should go on the frunk, or you know, what should go on board, you know, this Tesla in space? He's got cameras on there, figure out a way to beam, you know, images back. I mean, it's kind of rad.
Well, beyond the eccentricness of the greenhouse idea, the initial idea was, hey, look, let's spur excitement. You know, I think that there is an element to Elon Musk that very much both in business and in a philanthropic ideal is that we should be engaging more about this, that this future is closer than we realize if we believe that we can get there. The greenhouse was that idea. Let's watch this. It's one thing if we hear projections of, well, we can eventually get to Mars. We can eventually do this. But if you can watch a plant grow and you can just click on your computer and see that, it becomes more real. If there is a live stream of, you know, a Bowie's Space Odyssey playing in a Tesla going around Mars, it just becomes more real in a way that I agree with him matters in the long run. If we just all assume for a fact an incremental, if silly, step forward, it makes the rest of this process so much easier because we're now short-circuiting the, well, yeah, maybe in 30 years. Yeah, maybe for this amount of money. Maybe you need this, that, and the other. It's not going to happen. Now, look, here's something, albeit frivolous, but it's close. And it's now the entire process seems more realistic.
So speaking of space and commitments, you heard about Budweiser. But here,
one more thing, just to Brian's point about like the crass commercial thing. I think if you're launching a car into space around Mars, fine. Whatever. You deserve to put your name on it. You can, I mean, like, I don't think that he, I don't view it as like, finally, he can sell some Teslas if he just launches this thing around Mars.
Well, it's funny. I couldn't think of a better segue into the next segment. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, well, yeah. So speaking of moving the frontiers of science and doing the important things, if you want to measure the march of civilization, there are different metrics by which you can go by. Metal usage, textiles, agriculture, language, written language, human rights, meh. One of them is the alcohol. In particular, hops and fermentation and the ability to ferment. Fermenting beverages is actually, besides providing, you know, a lot of fun, is actually a way to have another sort of food supply or drink things in places where your water's bad, whatever. So it's a very legitimate scientific exploration.
Yeah, sure. Let's call it a legitimate scientific exploration to ferment beer on the surface of Mars. How are they planning to get there?
Well, Anheuser-Busch has announced, that's just it, that they plan on being the first beer brewed on Mars. So they actually have their own mission patch, and they're going to take the first steps towards doing this is they have an experiment. They're working on a microgravity beer, and they're putting an experiment that will be on board the International Space Station. It gets launched later this week on SpaceX on the Dragon capsule. And so their goal is they want to start, you know, make a step towards finding out about, you know, brewing in different environments. And I want a little shameless, little crass commercialization here from our anti-capitalist Brian Brushwood, it's a point of view. In my book, How to Make Money on Mars, one of the things I talked about is that, like, you will have a lot of niche things will be very interesting because certain things will be different. Chemistries, things like that. Things people go, and I hear this from like, oh, why go to Mars? Why not just go to Antarctica or go to places like this? It's like, it's because things are different. You know, why study mice? We can study people. Things are different. Some things are the same. Some things are different when you have different gravity. Okay. We have different gravity starting with that. Is biochemistry is different. We're already seeing this in orbit, we'll get another story about that, about how things functionally or chemically behave differently because there's a lot of the processes we take for granted. Formation of cell structure, formation of crystal structure, the size that certain materials and solutions can get is affected by gravity. So things that are made on Mars, some things will be different. Some things, if you try to make just a pizza on Mars in atmosphere, in Earth atmosphere, whatever, it's going to be different. It will taste different because the dough will rise differently, the sauce will form differently, et cetera. So it's legit. It's a legit sort of area of expertise.
Speaking of which,
exploration.
Did you see how garbage those pizzas on the International Space Station look? They're not very tasty looking. This is the beauty of it being a beer because, beer and various alcoholic beverages have nuance and subtlety that come from everything from the layers of fog to the temperature to the acidic compounds in the soil or whatever. So it does matter. Like, there is literally no way to fake a Martian beer on Earth. The only way you get to do it is to go to freaking Mars.
Yeah, now, like, give you an example. We know that antibiotics behave differently in space. They don't work as well. And that might have something to do with just the shape of things as things are in free fall. You know, they can be more round, and that change in roundness, you know, more of being more perfect of a sphere may affect the way antibiotics adhere to it. This is a theory, okay? And so you might have yeast fermentation might affect differently in slightly less gravity, et cetera. So there's a lot of things like, yeah, Brian, I mean, it's like this could be different.
Let me ask you a question, because one of the members of this show has been on the record saying that he will not go to Mars until there is a Taco Bell. This brings us, if we're in the phase where companies are like, well, you want to know what, let's start to try, to set these things up here. How far off do you think we are from a Taco Bell on Mars?
Right now we look at Budweiser's willing to spend, I don't know what their total cost to this mission they're doing is. I don't think it's in the millions, but it's probably up. It's still not trivial. They're spending a non-trivial amount of money because it's good PR. It is, and for them, they are very interested in the science of brewing. It is a legitimately an interesting thing for them. So they've got a budget, they've got money they can apport, you know, portion towards PR, which is really is, but a little bit of an R&D. There are scientists who work for Budweiser who are like, yeah, this is really curious. And then what they're going to do is, you know, they're going to put seedlings up there, going to put them there for 30 days, then bring them back. And then they could do a brand of, you know, space beer or whatever. It tastes interesting or whatever. And I've made arguments about, like, the niche sort of products that you could get out of Martian X. You bring back token amounts of quartz or materials and stuff there's no reason to bring them from Mars other than the fact they're from Mars. You bring them to Earth and you put a piece in a coin, you know, and you have a Mars Bitcoin kind of thing, or you have products that you use, made with blankety blank, whatever, or these seeds came from Mars. That novelty aspect alone would fund a first wave of exploration. I don't think that's what's going to be the future of Mars industry at all. But I think the first wave of exploration, hey, let's go to India for tea, you know, whatever. There's that.
This is also a frustratingly smart play on Anheuser-Busch's part. Did you see the Super Bowl ad where they just crapped all over craft beers? They're all like, you're like, oh, look at you with your big beard and you're making your craft beer. Hey, look, this is for real people who drink normal beer, not like you weirdos. And we're in the middle of a craft beer revolution. So there's a lot of alternatives to the big Coke and Pepsis of beer. But none of those small breweries can do this. So it's smart for them to get their name in the headlines doing the type of things that only a global mega conglomerate can do to take a rounding error's worth of money and send hops up to space.
You know, when SpaceX announced that they were going to be doing the lunar mission, the lunar free return mission, you know, basically sending a capsule with people on board, the Falcon Heavy, towards the moon, loop around, come back towards Earth. Gwynne Shotwell made the comment a couple weeks ago. They got a lot of calls from other people with money and means who are like, hey, we would like to do this. We would be interested in doing this. And it's one of these things where within space, you have the existing people you go to for space dev, you know, satellite launches, things like this. But then you have other companies and other entities like, oh, yeah, no, we'd be cool. You know, I could see, you know, Rolex saying, hey, if we made, you know, could we grow some crystals or some industrial diamonds in orbit, you know, in free fall? Because then we can come out with, you know, the Rolex instead of the Submariner, the Rolex astronaut, you know. You get things like this. You get a lot of people going, oh, yeah, no, we spend, you know, how much do we spend on Super Bowl ads, you know?
Yeah.
And again, I don't think this is the way I hear this. Oh, we should make, you know, go to Mars, make it a reality TV show, fund it that way. That way overestimates the amount of money in reality TV. Okay. And that is a way to get a one or two, some of the money you need to do like the first sort of SpaceX kind of missions is through these other opportunities, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, if there are eyeballs and there is interest, there will be business.
Yeah. So, I'm all for it. I think we're going to see a lot more of it. And, you know, Brian's point about Taco Bell, et cetera. I could see at this point somebody could say, hey, we're going to take a Falcon rocket. We're going to put a Dragon capsule up there. We're going to orbit for 30 days. We'll put experiments on there. We're going to open it wide up to whoever wants to put something on board. And, you know, it's, you know, you're talking now with, I don't know what the capsule costs, but you're with a reusable booster, your launch is reduced. You're talking a $50 or $60 million range. You're talking, you know, the overage for Justice League.
Yeah.
So speaking of overage and expensive endeavors.
Man, you guys don't have any idea how expensive this show is. And because you don't, you should give us money.
Yeah.
Indeed. Head on over to patreon.com/weirdthings. Well, friends, you might be thinking, wait a minute, what is this, a podcast? Yes, you're listening to it right now. It's also a Patreon page where you can give us money for the podcast. It's so simple, friends. Head on over to patreon.com/weirdthings, kick us whatever you'd like, and therefore you become one of the people that are making this thing happen, and you get early access to our After Things podcast in its own unique RSS feed. Folks, this could not be a simpler process. All you do is get your own RSS feed from Patreon, enter it into the podcatcher of your choice. It automatically updates. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Head on over there right now. Patreon.com/weirdthings.
So on the subject of growing things on the space station in space, it was a story that sort of made the rounds last week because it had such wonderful sort of sensational sort of headlines. And a Russian astronaut talking about the International Space Station was making the point, said that, you know, we found bacteria on the station's external surface. And he had, and it's hard to know what he said because it was astronaut, Russian cosmonaut Anton Shkaplerov had talked to TASS. Then we got the American reporting of it, and TASS alone is sensational. And then how these things get translated. And he was saying, like, oh, we think it's alien. We think it's alien. Probably alien bacteria found on the, you know, the outer skin of the International Space Station.
Which, I mean, you know, certainly anything that doesn't belong on there could be considered alien, you know. If, for example, let's say I snuck across the space border and, oh, no? Okay. That seems like a bit more of a stretch.
Well, so that was sort of this claim. Now it's been sort of like, no, it's not. It's not. Don't worry. It's not alien. It's just freaky Earth bacteria that somehow survives the rigors of space and is thriving, you know, or found on the surface of the International Space Station. Don't panic. So it's been... You know, so it's been changed to that. But that is the thing that's interesting, is that there is a story that I know one of the people that designed the interior modules, helped design interior modules on the International Space Station. And one of the things that they did there was they made removable racks. They made everything was removable so you could pull things in and out so you could get to all the different parts of it. Now, on the Russian space station Mir, they didn't do that. Everything was sort of fixed in place, et cetera. So the problem was you have people living continuously inside this small little vessel in a, you know, perfect environment for humans to function, which is also a perfect environment for things like fungus to grow. And the story, and I haven't heard that, I don't know if this was officially acknowledged, but one of the reasons they decided to deorbit it was because they were getting all sorts of fungal growth inside of the Mir space station that they couldn't get rid of because it was too inaccessible to reach. And there was this fear that you've had this fungus that's now been in orbit for decades, you know, years and years, and it's been irradiated, and it has been, we talked about before, we talked about antibiotic resistance and stuff. There was this, like, you know, maybe better to just deorbit and let the thing burn up in the atmosphere than try to keep the thing going. And, you know, that is, you know, a consideration, you know, it's certainly a consideration because, you know, that thing is, you know, they do swabs and stuff in the space station and stuff. They find all sorts of stuff. And we don't really know what, you know, really the long-term effects of there's been a unintentional experiment that's been going. And what is the environment? You talk about sick building syndrome, things like that. That's one of the things you have to think about. Pleasant dreams.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm sure this is all based on the supposition that that it was a justifiable reason to deorbit the mirror was just based on that. However, can you imagine what a disaster it would be to send an astronaut up to get infected and sick with some kind of cesspool, and then you're just watching them die up in space or something? Not great PR.
I mean, there were multiple reasons, but one of the reasons of like, why not salvage? And they're like, well, there's this thing that's a concern. How much? We don't know. How much do we want to really look in and find out this is a concern? You know, and one of these things they talk about is NASA goes to great points about the sterilization procedures we go through with if we ever want to put something on the surface of Mars, et cetera. You know, we make sure we don't contaminate Mars, and we go through great, you know, efforts to make sure we don't bring anything back from space. But life finds a way. It's freaky. Just freaky. Speaking of freaky, there's a freak show. There's a traveling freak show going across the heartland of America.
I told you I'm not touring nearly as much as I used to. I'm mainly doing stuff in front of the camera these days.
I'm talking about the post-apocalyptic slam down wrestling show.
Known as
what we see in a thing called Journey Quest.
Okay.
Previously on
Journey Quest.
What do you say we let loose all these animals?
No, not this button. You're not allowed to press this button.
Pound sand, dweeb. Brian, hit the button.
Whoa! I'm not with the Golden Emperor, okay?
Okay. Where? Who are you?
I'm an agent. Gentlemen, first fight, Bryce Vegas.
Dude, this is it, Justin. We're going back on the road. We're going to make our way out west. We're going to get back to our roots, to our original quest.
Well, also known as we're going to leave Texas for the first time in the like year-long journey of Journey Quest. The entire time we have apparently made our way from Austin to 200 miles out of Austin, although it's been disguised as many different things, including time travel and alternate realities. All that apparently was an elaborate farce, and now for the first time we're going to make our way to, well, wherever Bryce Vegas is, although I think I might have heard a whisper.
Yeah, bad news. Bryce Vegas is in Fredericksburg, Texas. I don't think you got the word on that.
I swear to you, it was going to be Old El Paso. I was going to be like, congrats, you're going to see signs. I go, El Paso. Like, yeah, why? Vegas is Vegas. This is Bryce Vegas.
Listen, Justin, let's just focus on the gig, man. All we got to do is we got a good setup now. We're about to have decent armament. All we have to do is show up and perform.
Okay. Let's all understand that this is going to go south immediately. Like, we're also coming back into contact with Bryce, apparently, who has a habit of trying to kill us.
That's when we're not making him money. I'm telling you, I know this Bryce. He's not going to be all wrapped. I mean, he's a practical person. He's all about them dollars, all right?
Wait, how do you know?
I mean, I worked with him in the before times. I don't know if you remember. He used to produce.
No, I'm aware. However, your relationship has not, to this point, allowed him to not want to murder you. In fact, remember,
I mean, Bryce and I have always had a capricious work environment, so it makes sense that he would do this in the post-apocalyptic times. Because all that's happening is that we're just more of what we were beforehand. So let's go be more awesome.
We're going to do it. I'm just saying let's be on the same page that this is going to go not well very quickly.
Well, certainly with that attitude. I'm just saying let's be goal oriented and try to make this work. Look, we brought you back from the brink, man. You were under mind control serum just a couple weeks ago. Now look at you.
You want to know why I was under mind control serum, Brian?
I understand that we all have pressures and it's easy to escape from time to time.
Yeah, because you escaped from with the New Reich or wherever. You jumped out of the dirigible and you split us up, and then I wound up getting cornered by a bunch of cannibal kids, and then eventually the Golden Emperor, where I was presumably, in fact, that is to forbid untold, put under mind control.
Hey, focus. We agreed no carpetbagging, no grabbing, no hoarding of our past grievances to throw in each other's faces. We agreed that we're a team.
Then let's look forward. Instead of letting all this stuff happen to us, so we make panic snap judgments that lead us into further trouble.
Okay.
In other words,
you're saying we need a plan. We need a plan going into Bryce Vegas. Okay.
Yeah, just for background, they're having this argument on the battle RV, which is driving across the desert highway towards Bryce Vegas.
Yeah. Okay. So we got a few.
By the way, for the DM, what are we seeing? Can we see out the windows? Like what is
nighttime? You're seeing, you know, post-apocalyptic landscape, you know.
So okay.
No other cars burned out, occasional fires, maybe dogs chasing after you, feral children, that kind of thing.
Look at us, man. How back in the before time, how much did we talk about taking our act on the road? Like, let's do night of day. Now we're physically going to be attacking people in the night on the road. This is a dream come true.
Wait, no, that is a very good point. Wait, is the gig at night, and can we call our team Night Attack?
Yeah, there's actually a Mexican team called Team Night Attack, so...
Okay, so we call ourselves...
The copyrights reset after the apocalypse, just so you know.
That's fine. We're a totally independent work called Nido Attacco. It's totally different.
Night Taco. Oh,
Night Taco.
Wow. That was apparently, even from Bryce Vegas, you could hear the groan on that joke.
That's problematic.
Okay, all right, look. Here's the important part. How committed are you, Justin, to us? What's the best path? Do we get there?
Knock, knock, knock. Manager. Hey, guys. Listen. I'm excited. It seems like you're having a conversation here. While you do this, I need you to figure out a name and a gimmick and some outfits and stuff. We've got a seamstress chained up front. We can take care of everything you need, whatever you want. Just let me know.
Great. Justin. All right.
Yeah.
I need to know...
We're going to gloss over the chained up part.
I need to know how committed you are to us fulfilling our obligations on this gig. It seems to me like getting paid and well-armed is a good way for us to head out west. But if you're going to suddenly decide that, like, running away mid-gig, I just got to know going into this.
No, no, no. Number one, don't say the thing that you always do is the thing that I'm going to do. I am not going to run away halfway through. I am here. The goal here is the only reason why I signed on, knowing that this is almost certainly a trap, is that at least we will have access to weapons and we will have access to transportation. If they are fair dealing, then we fight our way to get out west. That is the plan. But let's just be aware that if and when this thing goes sideways, we are going to have to make some moves.
Okay. Having said that, what do you think of calling ourselves the Bludgeon Brothers?
No, that sounds terrible. How about we call ourselves we can't call ourselves the how about we call ourselves the original Night Attack?
How about
Night Attack 2?
Hold on, what if we call ourselves the new Night Attackers? That way they know it's a sequel.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. How about this? The people who come upon you late in the evening and commit violence. And our gimmick could be that we're kind of Victorian. Maybe we could grow mustaches and adopt the Victorian style pugilism stance.
I really just feel like we need to go back to our classic roots and we
enjoy the garden, a Night Attack tribute.
All right, so there we go. Enjoy the garden, a Night Attack tribute, and we're very botanically themed. Like
okay.
We,
that's good.
In fact, at the beginning of each match, we toss out bags of leaves into the audience. We just throw leaves at them.
But, hey guys, but
we don't want just any leaves that are premium leaves. Let's grab all the leaves of like just the garbage plants that are growing anywhere. What I'm saying, let's throw bags of weed out at the audience. We'll find weeds and we'll say, who likes weed? Hey.
Manager here, I have an idea for it. I was just I got a list here. I just gonna throw this out. Just spitballing. Night Slam Federation of Wrestlers.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? We'll call ourselves Team NSFW for short. That works for me.
Yeah, I guess we could do that. Hadn't thought about that. Huh. All right.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe going back. Maybe we could be the Bludgeon Brothers live show.
The BB live show for sure. That'd be great. Oh, you know what? We're a couple of unusual blokes. Why don't we call ourselves Team Weird Things?
No, there's actually some team in Southern California called that. Just so you know.
Ah, damn.
Foreshadowing.
Okay. I say we'll go with Team Enjoy the Garden. A Night Attack tribute.
And we throw refuse, lawn refuse at the audience.
Yeah.
Enjoy the Garden.
You're not feeling
we'll
it?
We'll try it. We'll give it a try. All right. I mean, we might have to change the gimmick up, but maybe we'll give it a try, you know. So okay.
So it seems like right now we should get geared up for our big battle. Can we get a quick assessment of our stuff? I assume I still have in working order my right arm replaced with a chainsaw, right?
Yeah, we've got that. Listen, we found a Ren Faire for some reason that didn't know the apocalypse happened, and so we've got a couple metalsmiths and some people like that chained up in the back. We got them. Whatever you need, let me know. The trailer attached. It's all good.
All right, Justin, now's the time. If you want to get enhanced like yours truly, I mean, there's no missiles flying by for you to try to touch. But
our leather master is amazing, by the way.
Yeah. So I'm not going to mutilate myself. But again, strike two on this chain thing. Like we're just going to let this totally pass by.
Look, man. Oh,
I'm sorry.
World.
I didn't know that your RVs all have seatbelts. Pardon me.
Oh, they're just like. That's a new seatbelt thing, or
yeah,
to be chained,
kind of. You know, I mean, a seatbelt's a good idea. Why just wear it part of the day?
Hey, can we go talk to the leather master and the coppersmith?
Sure.
All right. I walk over and I'm just like, hey, man. It'd be pretty great if I could just swap out this chainsaw for something else. Can you make like a detachable system of gizmos? Like I just want a copper fist with the middle finger extended. It'd be great if I could cause the middle finger to go up, but failing that, I'll just have the middle finger out all the time. If that's
doable. No. Oh yeah. I've done this before. It's a sex toy. Got it. You and your partner want this thing. Got it. Okay.
You know what? That's fine.
He turns to Justin. How big do you want the finger to be?
Yeah. Okay. So that's not what we're doing. And also, but that's an okay. I've done this before a lot. Like this is.
Dude, I work Ren Faires. What do you think?
So if you can make the middle finger one that looks like a middle finger, like it looks like a novelty fist with a middle finger, but I can reach forward and take the middle finger out and in it will reveal one jagged dirk or spike. And then the other, like in my hand, I'll be holding a knife in there. You never know.
Okay. So Bear, this is good with you?
Okay, again, this is not a sex toy. We are violent warriors who are going across the apocalypse-ravaged country, satisfying our bloody revenge as
whatever your
fighter.
Kink, that's fine. This is not a place of judgment.
Kink,
this
man,
is no judgment
I'm just
here.
Saying, he's trying to have a... I leave.
I look at him. I was like, maybe I have two backups. You know, get creative with it. Just give me a little selection here. I'll trust you when the moment comes.
He's uptight. He seems pretty uptight about it.
You know, yeah, it's a strange new world. Not everybody understands their place.
I'm not uptight. I slam back in. I wasn't listening, but I'm not uptight. I just want to let you know.
Okay. So I'm hoping, you know, just send that over to my cabin whenever
you know,
those are ready.
There's a spa on the way to El Paso, which you might want to check out. You guys maybe, you know, some couple time might be good. Just might be good. You know?
All right. Sounds great, man. I throw him whatever pocket change I have as a tip.
Thanks.
He's a slave, Brian. I walk back in.
And I say, which
you're tossing
only makes
him money.
This...
He's a slave. Where is he going to spend it? At the Bed Bath and Beyond?
It only makes it all the more precious that he's been given a token. It's called appreciating other people, Justin. Come on.
All right. Well, enough. Apparently, he hasn't been loosed of his sass.
Hey, this is my lifestyle choice. Don't judge. Don't judge.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Whatever.
Okay, so we go to leave, and then I open my door one more time, and I lean my head in, and I'm like, a replacement ding-dong would be great, too. And then I close the door.
Okay. Already working on it. Got it. So you hear the sound of metal clanking, blank. And then the battle RV. Every now and then you hear sporadic gunfires. The people who protect the battle RV, et cetera, are, you know, shooting people in the middle of the night or monsters or children begging for food, whatever. And finally, it comes to a screeching halt. Engine stops. Manager comes and says, hey, guys, listen. Tiny little hitch, little problem, but there's a solution. One door closes, you break a window in another house. That's what my mom always said, okay? We ran out of gas. The good news is Texas. There's a lot of oil. There's a lot of gas, right? There's a town maybe half a mile up the road. They've got gas. They've got gas. You know what they don't have?
What? A world-class touring duo show?
Ding, ding. Winner, winner. They don't have entertainment. They actually have their own little amateur wrestling group there. Okay? It's the Desert Bird Wrestling League.
Justin, this seems like the perfect...
They're not even good at names, guys.
This seems like the perfect opportunity for us to get a little warm-up. We're about to hit the big leagues. We don't want to go in cold. Come on, man. Let's do it. We'll get some gas.
They have their team. They have their town favorites, a duo. It's called Congo and Mongo. Okay? And I thought maybe a little exhibition match for some gas money.
Great. No, in. On behalf of my partner, I think it's a great idea. Let's do it.
I'm in. All right. Is there like another car that was like riding along ours, or do we get like a motorcycle to get into town, or we got to hoof it?
It's going to walk. It'll be good. But we're going to have our armed guys with us to.
Are any of them big enough that I could ride one of their shoulders?
Brian, they're just, I in the next contract, I can make that a thing for you. You know, I already talked to the leather master. I know you guys have tastes.
All right.
Things you're into. And
fine. I'll walk.
And I'm still mech. I'm mech enhanced, right?
You were in a suit that's sort of like kind of like the battery sort of ran down and stuff. And so it's kind of like you're dragging dead weight.
Okay. So I no longer have the suit.
Or at least it's not very effective.
It's just not really.
Oh wait, can we get that recharged? Like that seems to me that was the only reason why I was excited about becoming a professional fighter.
I checked all the plugs. We don't have the right plug for that.
I mean, might they have it at town?
Maybe they might. They've got a fireworks stand.
By the way, Brian, this is priority number one because Right, that was the reason why we were in this is because we had this suit. Like, if we don't have this suit, we're screwed.
Okay, look, I know it's going to be slow and draggy, but I'm going to need you to walk in that suit, you know, the 2 miles into town, and we'll look for some kind of generator, you know, some kind of generator we can generate electricity with.
Yeah, good plan, right. Brian.
So you guys are kind of, it's slow going because Justin's kind of dragging ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. Finally, you see some lights, you see some like little string lights, whatever, and you see the town. Now, it's not the, it's kind of sad. It's like got Quonset hut buildings and stuff. It seems like there's more like places selling cigarettes and alcohol than, you know, I don't know, eating establishments or, you know, coffee shops.
All right. So I walk up and I slap Justin on the shoulder and I say, you know what these people are hungry for? You know what we're here to do, Justin?
Yeah.
We're hungry for food.
Somebody yells out of nowhere.
I whisper into Justin's ear. I'm like, no.
Clean water.
We're here to offer hope. We're here to offer just for a few seconds of distraction from their dreary day-to-day lives. We're
you
here to bring them joy.
Sitting on the hood of a car.
A what?
What? Sitting on the hood, leaning on the hood of the car, right? A couple of cops there watching. In the background, as this happens, there's about four or five gang members beating up an old woman carrying a bag of groceries.
I salute with my chainsaw hand the cops and say thank you for your service as we keep walking by.
Wait, hold on. We're going to be good guys?
I mean,
where are the big bad guys coming in from out of town beating up their local heroes? You think we're going to win their hearts?
I mean, I think we can. I was hoping so. Is this? Okay.
I mean, like, I just think we're swimming upstream on that one. Also, I think it's pretty clear from this world building that, like, that there is just total lawlessness here, that maybe they actually want more than just us beating people up. Okay, like, we might need to beat up the gang.
A small 6-year-old child wearing a T-shirt that comes down to her knees comes up running up, says, "They're here! They're here! They're here!"
I say, now, Justin, you realize, like, we're not going to sell shirts as the heels. Like we got to offer hope here.
She spits in your face, Brian, as she points to her Mongo and Congo shirt, says, "They're going to kick your butts," and she runs away.
You know what? I'm done. I rev my chainsaw hand 4 or 5 times, and then I announce, like, to the world, I say, "What's up, you benighted fools? You losers! Yeah. You backwater garbage town! We finally bring to you civilization and podcasting!"
I look at him and I say, "Hey, listen, you weasels. I'm here to do three things. Chew gum, kick ass, and find a generator. And I'm all out of gum, but I still need the generator."
Well, you come through a line of smashed up cars, broken cars, and you see kind of an arena, kind of like it's made of like the arena's made just from like just junk, kind of a junkyard sort of area. And you can see that there's people sitting all around bleachers and stuff. But it's real a haphazard. It makes a Thunderdome look like a really well-planned I Am Pi masterpiece. OK, yeah. So you enter there and there's a lot of people wearing overalls and stuff, but it's pretty crowded, you know, and there's actually a fight on stairs, like there's an early match going on right now. And do you know what you see on the opening card? Do you know what you see?
Is it the human generator?
No. There is a big, you notice there's a generator though powering the lights though. And it's really close to one corner of the ring. Just saying. And there's some extra cables and stuff. Just saying.
Hold on, wait a minute. A generator generating electricity?
Indeed.
Close to the corner of the state of the stadium.
All right,
stage,
all right.
Saying.
We know. All right, there we go. All right. So who's in the ring?
Well, what you see is two children fighting the backs of Great Danes.
Oh my God!
Kind of like jousting. It's kind of adorable, but really sad because the knives and sharp stuff weapons are like real.
Okay. Is anybody guarding the generator right now? Is anybody paying attention to it?
No.
All right.
Really.
Well, let's hustle on over. Let's get you hooked up and juiced up so that we can make this happen. So we walk over to the generator and I look to see if there's a way to connect to his power armor.
It's a cable. You got a big electrical cable.
I just shove it right on in and ask him, is it charging?
Yeah, it's charging. You're charging him. He's gonna charge.
Great. So all we got to do is hang out here, and then we'll just wait for the match.
Child loses an eye. Match is over. They clean him off the stage. Wipe off the stage.
How charged is Justin?
15%.
Okay. All right. Look, I got to buy a
next match coming up. Mystery match. It's not you guys. Oh, now it's just like, can you guess what we're going to see next? Can you guess?
Probably more child endangerment.
Wrong. It's not even close.
Wait, who am I talking to?
Also, Old lady ladder match.
Oh, right on. Okay, I go buy some popcorn and I ask around to see if anybody has one of my replacement hands because I would like to eat popcorn with my right hand.
So you hear the jangle of a chain and you look over and there's the leather master, the chain around his neck, and he's holding his own chain.
That's great. I was like,
good for him.
I take off my chainsaw, I put it in my knapsack, my inventory, and I gesture with my stump hand. I was like, what you got? Let me see.
Pulls out his velvet case. It opens it up, and there is the new hand, as you asked for, but it doesn't have the joint. It doesn't have the middle finger joint. He turns to Justin with a long, slim case, flips it open, presents to him the finger.
Okay, again.
I thought it'd be appropriate if you connected it to there.
Oh, Jesus. All right, fine. Brian, bring your stupid hand over here.
Okay, I bring my stump.
I attach his finger to this to the fist.
The leather master's weeping. He's like,
I wave it around. Now, can you describe to me what prehensile capabilities this new attachment has?
The thing you asked for?
Yeah. Can it? It's just a hand, right?
It's a giant hand phallus. It's what you asked
for. Okay, great. I go and order popcorn. I begin to shovel popcorn into my mouth with my
your giant hand phallus.
Yeah.
Oh, and just don't forget, this gives you a big thing of
of lubricant. Yeah. Well, because there's okay.
All right. Hey, Leather Master. What a hell of a guy. Real fast worker. That was actually remarkable. You made a lot in a little bit of time. Look at you.
He's just
how charged am I?
17%.
Okay, I offer him a handful of popcorn from my.
That's fine. Fine.
Oh, and you hear the sound the old lady of a cracking hip and the scream of an old woman. Like, ladies and gentlemen, looks like we have a winner. All right, next up.
Hey, wait. Can we flag our agent over?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up?
Hey, so have you like worked out all the details on this? Like, so when we win, we get how much gas, how much money? Like what's the deal here?
So so there's an interesting angle here. Mongo and Congo are undefeated, and I'm thinking maybe we do a different kind of play here, kind of the safer play.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. You're not suggesting we try to lose.
Hey. Great idea.
Well, that wasn't me suggesting it. That was me. Well, hold on. What would the upside be?
I can guarantee get us gas money. You know, guaranteed gas money. Not a problem. Guaranteed gas money. You know, we know if we go in and say we're going to lose, if I agree to some parties involved in advance that we're going to lose the match, throw the match, then I guarantee we'll get the gas money.
Oh, man.
Wait, hold on. Was there a chance we wouldn't get the gas money if we won?
No. If you won, you'd get the gas money. We'd get the gas money. The problem is that, you know, they may murder us if we defeat the town champions.
Yeah, plus also, like, it's the gas money we care about, Justin. I mean, look, we're here to put on a show. I figure we go in hot and hard, and I hold up my new fist.
Yeah, we picked up on that.
But then we just got to lose halfway through. We get the gas money. Who cares what these benighted yokels think?
I'm all fine doing the job. I'm starting to look cross-eyed at our agent here for throwing this little wrinkle here at the last minute.
Just being flexible. I'm sure this is not foreshadowing of any kind of disaster imminent down the road.
All right. Fine. Well, we'll lose to Mongo and Congo, and we get our gas money, and that's it.
Okay.
For the record, though, I'm fine. If stuff goes down, I'm fine getting our way out of there by any means necessary. Also, do me a favor. While we're here, can we find like transportation back to our van so we're not walking another 2 miles?
I'll see what we can do. I can arrange something for you guys. And yeah, it's good. And I mean, if we lose and we have to spend, you know, a couple weeks in the Mexican League to sort of build back up your reputation, that's fine. That's fine.
Whoa, hold on. So you're saying that us losing means we don't get our big gig in El Paso?
Bryce Vegas.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I can't take guys that were just defeated straight into Bryce Vegas. You know what I'm saying? So I need to sort of kind of reinvent you in an undercard.
Okay, so yeah, we are going to win then because we are going to Bryce Vegas and then we are going out west as you promised when you signed us when we were literally running past you.
Here's the important thing. You have a secured promise that we'll get the gas if we lose, right? And they've objectively stated that if we win, we'll get the gas. I think we could take it from here.
Sure thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed the last match of man fighting 100 rabid squirrels in a bag, although you couldn't see it, though it sounded pretty amazing.
Dog fighting
is illegal here. We don't allow that. That's just inhumane.
I look over at Justin's power meter to figure out how charged he is.
22%.
Okay. I walk out and I say, hold on, everyone. Before the show, and this is not an attempt to stall and buy time so that Justin might become more charged, I've got a little something special for you. Who here likes magic? And I throw my fists up in the air.
Crickets, Brian.
I was like, ha, I felt the same way. But let me tell you.
Look at our wall of magic, says the announcer. And it's the severed heads of close-up and street performers.
I was like, well, how can you tell just from that? Because you recognize them. Like, there's David Blaine. There's Chris Angel.
No, I mean, there's, you know, some guy, you know, with his, you know, scam stuff hat on.
I say, I say, you know what? Magic sucks. Have a good evening. And then I'm back into the corner.
Good call. So, listen, ladies and gentlemen, getting ready now for the match. The match you've been waiting for.
Well, who are these guys again?
Mongo and Congo.
No, you idiots. No, your names. Oh, what's your us? Names? Your manager wasn't quite clear on what the names were.
Enjoy the garden.
Things.
Oh, man, Justin. Enjoy the garden.
Do we have our leaves?
Okay, I run over and I start picking up weeds and I say, who likes weed? And I'm throwing dirt.
Crowd just stares at you. We've heard of the heel and the face. This is just the clown? What is this? I don't.
More dirt. Throw more dirt.
I throw more dirt.
She's frying. You start throwing dirt in people's eyes. Now I'm like, why are you doing this?
I use my copper fist as a trowel.
You're throwing rocks at the audience now. They're behind kind of a fence. It's not a sturdy fence. Now you're getting riled up. Now they're getting angry. Like, so, you know.
I start tossing up rocks and then hitting them as if with an aluminum except copper bat. And then just hitting them all over the place.
Yeah, right. Finally, that's a little improvement to these ugly. Oh yeah, where are we? We need to be yelling out the town. They always like it when you talk poop about the town.
Oh, that's easy. The town is, you know, something town.
Sad just, wages.
Yeah. I know. Hey, listen. As soon as we came in, we knew we were in something town.
Buenos Nachos, Texas.
We knew that we were in Buenos Nachos as soon as the smell hit us on the way in. That's why we're throwing dirt on you, animals.
The town was founded by actually like a freshman Spanish class that from like North Dakota. They weren't really good at it. So, you know, they declared it Buenos Nachos.
Good. Hey, everybody here sucks. We rule.
I hit my copper fist on a rock so it rings loudly. Ding.
All right.
Kind of cool. The crowd kind of goes, woo, woo. That's kind of cool. It's kind of neat.
I take one last look at my power meter.
Your power meter, you're at 83%.
Nice. It's pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
All right. So I unplug my charge and I say, I jump into the ring. Hey, look, I know that there's two losers who like to fancy themselves champions here in this town. I want to let each and every one of you know that you're idiots for believing in them, and we're going to make you look like idiots for ever thinking that they had a chance. Bring these schmoes out.
You hear the crowd is just riled up, something crazy. Now, the other end of this arena, there is like a big metal warehouse shed. You got the two big sliding doors there. You see a ray of light poking through there, and you hear the sound of metal clanking, metal pounding. All of a sudden, this rock and roll PA system kicks on that you didn't hear before. They didn't use it for the early acts. Now it's like, ladies and gentlemen, your hometown favorite, the destroyers of destruction, the annihilators of the apocalypse, the killers of killing, the terrors of terror, the alliterations of alliteration. I give you Congo and Mongo next week on Journey Quest.
Ah, the fight. We got this, man. We got this.
We're not doing another. We're not doing 3 weeks of rebuilding in Mexico.
We got this. We're going to be fine.
Bet you they're kids.
And we haven't explained the rules of the match yet either, have we?
Hold on. Wait. What am I hearing? All right.
Gentlemen, do we have any picks?
You know what? I don't have anything that springs immediately to mind, although I am finally reading Tom Merritt's book Pilot X. It's very well produced on Audible, so I'm about halfway through it right now and enjoying it quite a bit. So Tom Merritt's Pilot X is my pick.
I am going to pick actually something that Brian tipped me off to yesterday. We got 5 episodes into Hulu's original series, Future Man.
Yes! Yes! Did you enjoy it?
It is a Evan Goldberg, Seth Rogen produced show. It centers around a lovable schmo who works as a janitor that beats an unbeatable game, and only to find out that it's as he says himself, the plot of The Last Starfighter, and that it was a simulation. It really is kind of a love letter to how many different things it rips off, to the point where there is a reoccurring gag. Spoiler alert, time travel gets involved. There's a reoccurring gag to using the Back to the Future realization chime. Whenever he's like looking over at something. But, it's uneven. And there are some elements where I wish it were a little bit more sanded and polished. But by and large, it is really fun. And I'm enjoying it.
Very cool. Very cool. I've been nonstop. The only thing I've been watching. Oh, that's true. I watched on HBO. I've been watching like every episode of Doctor Who that's available, and I'm still in like the first Doctor era, which is just interesting. And one of the things I appreciate, and I mentioned this before, is, you know, it's a show, they had no resources, they had no money, but the crew that you look at this and the shows and you kind of laugh like, oh, it's so cheap. It's like, it's not by choice that the people making this show had a limited budget. The writing for that era is actually pretty strong writing. And what's kind of cool is that, you know, where they could be imaginative and try to figure out how to make things work, you know, about roughly 10 years after this first, you know, first couple seasons of Doctor Who was made, there was a scrappy little film production shooting in England where they had very little resources. They were trying to do science fiction. And because they were able to rely on a number of people who had worked on Doctor Who and doing props and stuff like this, they were able to turn this little movie into a thing called Star Wars. And so, you know, the roots of Star Wars actually, as far as production design, believe it or not, actually in some ways are tied to the people making this Doctor Who films and trying to figure out how to make the most, how to make a big sci-fi world out of next to nothing. So anyway, I'm enjoying that. And then I watched the Lego Batman movie. That was really fun.
Oh, I still haven't seen that.
It's fun. It's good. It's good. It's good. Good. So cool. Bryce, do you want to throw in a pick?
Oh, you know what? I did see something this weekend. I saw Exporting Raymond. Have you guys seen this?
No, heard about it.
It's a short documentary about the process of taking Everybody Loves Raymond and adapting it to Russian television.
Whoa.
It's pretty cool. It follows the creator of Everyone Loves Raymond as he goes to Moscow and is trying to, like, impart, you know, what he considers to be a very universal sort of viewpoint of the show, which is, you know,
I think I did watch this.
Yeah. It was like, you know, the mediocrity of everyday life, the little arguments that you get into when you're fighting, and how he is sort of butting heads with the people in Russian entertainment who, you know, like things over the top and glamorous and big and loud. And
yeah, they tried to make, like, I remember they want to, like, have Raymond be, like, a much more handsome guy or something.
Yeah.
Everybody had to be sexy or something, or...
Yeah, it was... Yeah. The casting, especially for Raymond, is, like, a big point in this documentary of, like, they found a funny guy that they liked, but there was a thing with the theater house that he worked in where they wouldn't let him go, and then...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They found some action star guy who didn't really have good timing and stuff. It's pretty cool. It was on Netflix, and it was a pretty easy watch. That's Exporting Raymond.
Yeah, they literally had to go to, like, the theater guys, the director of it, the theater program there, to ask permission to try to get him to the show, and the guy didn't really think much of TV and what, and it was very interesting. It makes you sort of appreciate how easier it is to sort of do things here too, but you know, in other countries, like, I've noticed that there is a lot of tradition, a lot of prestige about who you work with or work for. You know, that is very much, ooh, I was trained by so-and-so. And, you know, that, I was like, ooh, you know, like, more so, you know, than here. Mm-hmm. Cool. Very, very cool. Good. I guess, you know, it's been weird.
Smooth. Smooth.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.